then open up to the end of Parshas Noach, actually. And it's true we're in Parshas Chayesara now, but as to the end of the Nisyonot of Avram Avinu, was the last Nisayon of Avram Avinu?
The Akedah.
According to most Mefarshim, it's the Akedah. There is another Mefarish, if I'm not mistaken, it's the Bar Tanur, that says that there's a greater, philosophically it's very interesting, the greater Nisayon in the Akedah is actually this week's Parsha, the beginning of dealing with Kvurat Sarah, which is very fascinating. What exactly would be the more difficult piece of that? There are definitely some, maybe we'll talk about that towards the end of this year. But that's the end of the Nisyonot, which we'll get to. If you want to go towards the beginning of the Nisyonot, right before the Lech Lecha experience at Perek Yud Bet, we have a couple psukim. We have a couple of psukim at the end of Breishit Perek Yud Aleph about when we get to the genealogy of who Avram was. Okay? And we know that the Torah doesn't talk about or Kazdim explicitly about that whole Nisayon, but it's hinted to. If you look, let's start from Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Chaf Dalet. It says, Vayichi Nachor, Teisha Vesrim Shana Vayolad et Tarach. So who was Terach's father? Nachor. Okay. Vayichi Nachor Pasuk Chaf Hei, Achari Olido et Terach. Tshas Rishana Umat Shana Vayolad Banim Uvanot. Vayichi Terach. Now we start talking about Terach. So the only thing we know about Terach so far is his father's name is Nachor. Right? Which already, if you haven't paid attention, should be interesting. Why? Because what are the three boys' names of Terach?
Avram
Haran,
Nachor as well.
So that's already interesting, right? He names one of his sons after his father, right? Which is not crazy, especially if you're in the Sephardi, if they're still alive in the Sephardi tradition, they do it even while they're alive. In the Ashkenazic tradition, not that way. So then it says as follows, Pasuk Chavav. Before even looking in the Pesukim, what do we know about Terach? What does everyone know about Terach? Okay, it's one of these games of what we've learned in first grade about midrashim. But like, okay, what does the text actually say about Terach? Terach was number one, a father of Avram. That we're going to know for sure. Correct.
Yeah.
Now we know that he's the son of Nachor. Good. Now we know for the midrashim that he was an idol worshiper. Correct. Does it say that at all explicitly in the text? That he was an Ovid Avodah Zar. No, but we know that from the Midrashim. Okay. So we know from that Terach is not such a Grois Ritzadik. And we all know, if I had to read the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, when it talks about that, it definitely mentions that Avram Avinu himself was an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Right? Based on these Midrashim, that Avram Avinu, just understand who we're talking about, Avram Avinu was an Ovid Avodah Zarah also. Okay? What else do we know? What else do we know about Terach? He's an idol worshiper. What else do we know? Anything
three
else?
Sons.
What else? Three sons. That's true. Good. What else? Anything else? That's what we've known, right? So now what I'd like to do is read the Pesukim together with you. Where's the knapsack? It's over here. That is my phone, my computer time. I'd like to read together with you and to suggest maybe a chidush, maybe increase based on Chazal, based on Pesukei, based on some difficulties in the actual text, maybe a little bit more information about Terach. So let's start reading those Pesukim again. So what does it say? And we'll get to, I'll even quote for you a little bit of the Rambam, and it's very, very important reading. If you haven't read it yet, the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, it's one of those things in Sefer Breishit on a Friday night when you have some good cholent, and some good kegel, or some good potato kugel, right, if you have that. I'm personally a sweet noodle kugel man. But then you should read Perek Aleph of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. It's a very, very important reading to understand the evolution of how Avodah Zarah came about. So let's read the Pesukim. We're up to Pasuk Chav Vav. Vayichi Terach Shivim Shana. So it tells us that he lived for 70 years. I'm just opening up the Rambam. So, good. Okay. And Vayolet et Avram. et Nachor ve et Haran. Okay? So far, so good, right? So we know that he lived for 70 years. Okay? Ve Eila toldo Terach. Terach holid et Avram et Nachor ve et Haran. Ve Haran holid et Lot. Any questions? Tell me you have some questions, please. If you don't have questions, look at it again and start asking questions, please. What questions do you have? No questions? Why, everything's totally
why,
fine?
Why don't you talk about Haran's...
Good, that's number one. Number one, it talks about only Haran holid et Lot. That's good. One good question. What else questions you can ask?
Doesn't talk about Terach's wife.
Yep. Doesn't talk at all about Terach's wife.
Yeah,
good.
It says who they married first.
Good. What else? Names. Ah, right.
Yeah,
all of a sudden, you start looking at the psukim and it actually becomes interesting, right? As opposed to, okay, let's skip this. This is not like, you know, the Mabul or Dora Palaga or Aliyah story, right? This actually is fascinating. There's more to it. You're saying, we already, in Pasuk Chavav, what did it say? Vayolad et Avram et Nachor et Haran. We already know that he had three children, right? Now all of a sudden, what does he tell me? He discovers America, right? He says, oh, Terach holid et Avram et Nachor et Haran. Shkoyach. That's repetitive and redundant. I know that already, right? The Haran will lead it to Lot, then what you asked? Why is he only telling me about Lot? Okay. Also strange. Ve'ela toldo Terach. Meaning, it says Terach twice, right? Look, just say. You know, all you have to say is, where he said, Ve'yolad et Avram et Nachor ve'et Haran. The Haran will lead it to Lot. That's it. Meaning, superfluous. You with me, Mr. Gil, right? Guy. Yeah. Guy, Gil something. Yeah. Guy. Good. Daniel, are you with me?
Yeah.
So far, so good. Not boring you? Interesting questions, no?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we're going to learn about a character of Terach. It's important. That's where Avram Avinu came from. Then it says what? Vayamat Haran al pnei Terach Aviv. Like, I didn't know that Terach was his father, right? Chiddush. Right? Obviously not, right? We already know this already. I've said it two different times. So he dies. Be'eretz molarato be'or kazdim. Right, in Or Kasdim, and this is where we get all the whole question about Or Kasdim and where the Midrashim talk about Or Kasdim and the whole fire story. Okay? The whole miracle of Nimrod throwing Avram in, and the question of who's Haran going to follow? Is he going to follow Avram or is he going to follow Nimrod? Right? The big miracle that Avram is saved from the Kivshan Ha'ish. Right? Big question the Ramban deals with is if it's such a miracle, why not tell us in the actual text? We're not going to deal with that, but that's an important question also. If it's such a great miracle, why does the text not happen? The text, the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself tells us about Nisim, tells us about Kriyat Yamsuf, tells us about Man. Why would it not tell us about Or Kasdim? It's a good question. The Ramban deals with it, but right now we're going to focus on the character of Terach. Pasuk of Tet, let's keep going. Vayikach Avram v'Nachor lahem nashim. Okay? What do we got? Avram and Nachor take
wives.
Right? Obviously, it doesn't tell us about Haran at this point.
He's dead, right?
Right? That's true. That's why he's not, right? And that's maybe the interesting point here of what's going on, right? So it's telling me about the family. Vayikach Avram ben Nachor lahem nashim. It doesn't say Vayikhu. It says Vayikach. But okay. Right? So a lot of times when it's, you know, again, the general idea of when it says it in the singular, even though there's drashot, right? It's, meaning that's the question. Then it Siv asks it here. Why doesn't it say Vayichu? Okay. Vayikach Avram v'Nachor lahem nashim. Shem Eshet Avram Sarai. V'shem Eshet Nachor is Milka. Bat Haran. Avi Milka v'Avi Yizka. So it tells me about the filial relationship all within the family. Then it tells me right away, Vatihi Sarai Akara Ein La Valad. Right, the repetition, according to Chazal, she couldn't have children. She was what's called an Ilonit in the Gemara Nivamot. Right, she's barren, can't have children. So what happens? Pasuk Lamed Aleph, we're about to finish. Two more psukim, and then we're going to analyze more. Vayikach Terach et Avram beno, ve'et Lod ben Haran ben beno, ve'et Sarai kalato, eshet Avram beno, vayitzu itam yor kazdim, lalechet arza kenan, Vayavo ar Haran vayeshivu sham. I'll just finish the parsha. Vayu yimei Terach chamesh shanim umatayim shana vayama Terach b'Haran. So what's the problem with this? Definitely there's a lot of problems with the last pasuk also, but the pasuk in Laman Aleph is a pella. You know what a pella means? It's a wonder. Like, what's problematic with this pasuk? Very problematic. What's the problem?
He's repeating everything. Vayikach
Terach et Avram beno. What? I don't know that Avram's his son. Lod ben Aram ben beno. Vet Sarai kalatol. Eshet Avram beno. What is going on? I know all these things already. And then it says Vayitzu ita meor kazdim lalechet aretz Kanan. They're going to Eretz Kanan. Now, the simple pshat here, guys. Who's the initiator here?
Terach.
And where's he going? He's going to Canaan.
Yeah.
Right? Now, what?
He doesn't make it.
But before that, don't be such a naysayer. Right? Don't be such a naysayer. You with me? Where is he going? Eretz Canaan. Who in the past history have we seen already people going towards, in theory, probably going towards Canaan? We've seen that. We saw it already by the Dora Palaga, where it says they were being Nosim Mikedim. They were going, according to Chazal, definitely how Rav Nevensal explains it, they were going to Eretz Yisrael. Why are you going to Eretz Yisrael? It doesn't have all the Kedushat Eretz Yisrael of Yoshua, but they're going because they know it's a holy place. So what's Terach doing? He's taking them to Eretz Canaan. Then for some reason, Vayavoar Haran and Vayeshvu Sham. Right? So what do we know about Terach? We don't know exactly what we know about Terach. Right? And then we know that Terach, it says here, he was what? He was 205 years old, and Terach died b'Charan. And Rashi has to tell me over here that he didn't really die now. Yeah, you know this, Rashi? Rashi says that really he didn't die now because you're missing many, many years. Right? Because Avram was 75 years old when he left Haran.
Didn't it say the beginning that he was 70? That was when he had...
At the beginning, Terach, beginning, was 70 years old. That it tells me at the beginning.
Well, all three of his children were born when he was 70.
Right, we have the different age groups. Yeah, that's what it seems to be, right? No? That's what it seems to say. It says, Vayechi Terach, right? Shivim Shana. And then it says, Vayolad Adavram and Achor v'Taran. Does it mean that he, at that point, he had three children? I'm not sure. It's up for interpretation. The simple pshat is it's that, right? That he hit, right? That what?
Maybe triplets or something like that.
Could be. I mean, I don't think I've seen that in Midrashim. I've seen that later on when it talks about, earlier on, it talked about that by Cain and Hevel, that they had a twin, each one of them, when they were born. Okay? But, so what's going on? They want to go to Eretz Canaan, and then he stops in Haran, and he's there. And again, as I said, it says that he died at 205, but this was a long time away, right? Because when Avram leaves from Haran, Avram is 75 years old. Terach was 70 when Avram was born. So at the point when Avram goes from Haran to Eretz Canaan, how old is Terach? He's only 145 years old. That means he still has many, many years alive. So then the question Rashi says, rightfully so, is what? Why is it telling me that he's dead now, 205, when he's got many, many years, another 65 years in his life? Right? Very, very, very tough. Right? So Rashi here answers that what? That Lama Hikdima Katuv Mitato Shel Terach Liyitziyato Shel Avram. That it shouldn't be Miforsam, and people shouldn't say that Avram didn't honor his parents. And he left an old person behind. Therefore, the Torah Ki'ilu calls a mate. And Rashi emphasizes that what? That Rishaim, even when they're alive, are called Meitim, and Tzadikim, even when they're dead, are called Chayim. Okay? Meaning Rashi, within Chazal, seemingly say that what? We know that Terach was a Rasha. Right? And within that, being an Ovid of Azari, even says, Vayavo ar Haran. Right? Rashi says what? Lomar lecha ad Avram Charon af shel makom. Right, he says Haran. You know what Haran stands for? Like, also, it's a name of a place, but it's also Charon Af, which is what? Anger. Right? He's angering the Ribono Shel Olam. Don't think he's a gross tzaddik. But I want to, within all the questions that we have, propose to you two approaches. One that I heard last night, and one that I've thought of for years. And I stayed up till around 2 in the morning last night, just going through the different sources to put it together. That I think could be very, very fascinating within the approach that the simple approach, I think the simple, what people would tell you, why do we have these psukim at the end? What's the purpose of bringing me these psukim? Why have you not heard a shir about Terach and who Terach was? Because what's the popular answer to that question? not only is he evil, because we have stories about people that are evil, right? Nimrod, we talk about, and they even mention it, it's a machlok in the Mefarshim of how evil he is. We talk about Esav, and he's a Rasha, you know, with Lot, right? We could have talked about him. So just because somebody's evil, we care about evil people also in Tanakh, right? There's plenty of that. What else? Why else? He's not important. Why is he not important? Who's important?
Avraham.
The simple shot of this and why, quote unquote, this is a boring shir. Now that's bad publicity. I don't think this is a boring shir. I think it's going to be exciting and fascinating. But why people would think that these psukim are boring and like not important is because it's just the background. It's just getting me to Avram. Right? Let's get to the Lech Lecha story. Let's start the next week's parsha already, Rabbi. Ready to hack in my chinek, right? Reading, you know what that means? That's Yiddish. Like, you know, basically messing in my head, right? What are you doing? In Hebrew, it's called mevabel tamoch. What are you messing with me? Why are you messing with me? Right? Just tell me about Avram. Tell me how great Avram is. Right? Why are you telling me about Terach and who cares about Nachor? The truth is the same question. Maybe we'll answer. And if not, and if you're interested, I'll tell you the answer at a different time. Also, that I heard from Rav Soloveitchik of the end of this past week's parasha, Vayera. What was the height of the end of this week's parasha? Zakirat Yitzchak, right? So he says, Atayadati kirei elokimata. Right now I know that you're fearing, you know, you fear God, Jew. Wow, you were willing to do this and you didn't do it. Give up. Right, with all the philosophical questions with it. Right? But then is that how Parsha Vayera ends? No. Quickly, like literally for 1 second, turn to the end of Vayera, which we read also on Rosh Hashanah. And we read these psukim also. Right? It tells me that Hashem says, Atayadati givalt, and gives us all this bracha, right, in Perachav Bet, and all the bracha, and he goes back to Be'er Sheva, givaldik. Then all of a sudden, in Maftir, right, says, Vayachar Adrim Ha'ele, Vayugal Lavram Lemor, Hine Yalda Milka, Gamhi Banim Lenachorachicha, Et Utz Becharov, Et Buzachiv, Et Kimuel Aviaram, Et Keser Et Chazov, Et Pilbash, Et Yilaf, Et Bituel, Uvituel, Yalarat Rivka, Shmona Eile, Yaldam Mikal Nachorachi Avram, Upilaksho, etc. Right? So again, when you say the end of the parasha, what do? You care about a Kenet Yitzchak. Why do you read this psukim? So most of you don't pay attention. It's Maftir. It doesn't really count anyway. Right? Let's get to the Haftorah. Right? But furthermore, what's the reason? So what's the classical answer why these psukim are brought down?
Again, it's all preparation.
Preparation to who?
Rivka's family.
Rivka! Right? That's why it's important. Nothing to do with Avram, right? Rav Soloveitchik said no. As we will see, Rav Soloveitchik, this is highlighting more again of Avraham. That Avraham just had tremendous test and turmoil of Kivi Yitzchaki Karela Chazara. Finally, he gets a child after 100 years and 90 years. And as a whole issue with Ishmael, who he loves also, and he's got to be Gareshet Ben Vetamazot. Right? Now you have to do Akedah Yitzchak, and the whole emphasis of Akedah is not Lahavdil like the Shoah that he dehumanizes the kid. But the emphasis, just like we're emphasizing now, is what? He's bin chayet, yechid chayet, bino, right? It's literally, you're an Abba, he's a Ben, right? There's a tremendous emphasis of the tremendous turmoil that Avram Avinu has to deal with about him as a father and as a theologian to deal with this discussion. And then what happens right afterwards, Rav Soloveitchik explained, we read a couple psukim. It's like you're on a Caribbean island, you know, with a tequila. My name is Nachor, and I have 12 beautiful children. You know, they're all, one is better than the other. Their mother's name is Melka, like Malchus, right? You see just a stark contrast, you know, of one brother to the other brother. And you, what you would think is that what? Wow, Avram Avinu must be like really like jealous. Like it's crazy. Avram has all this turmoil of one, two kids, you know, like, you know, look at this, you know, Givaldik, a brother, right? So easy. And the Torah doesn't comment at all to say that what? That Avram Avinu is jealous and Avram Avinu is this. Right? That's part of the midos of Avram. So just like over here, it's not just the simple pshat is to tell me, leading us into the Rivka family, that who Rivka's father was, Bituel. But there's another, you know, what we would say, kunz, another pshat within, telling me about another test of Avram, where it's so easy to have what's called sarut ayin, to be able to not see the full picture of what the Ribono Shel Olam is doing here. So I want to say the same thing if we come back to where we are, which is why do I care at all about Terach, right? And the simple pshat is just to get to know Avram. That's what's going on. But within all the questions that let's repeat some of the questions that we've dealt with, okay? we see that it's not so simple, right? It tells us, just to go back, Barakat Aleph, that I want to say maybe it's important to tell us about who Terach is. And we're going to give two different approaches. One I heard last night and one I've thought about for years that I think has some emet to it, to actually emphasize the Nisayon of Avraham also. Okay? Some of the questions that we had, that, or points that you guys helped me to point out was, Terach's father is Nahor. He names one of his sons Nahor. There's a repetition, again, of both Terach twice. Again, these are the Mefarshim, just to tell you. The Malbim asked the question, why does it say the second time, Terach holidet Avram? Why does it tell us that Haran was molidet Lot, and it doesn't tell us about the other? All the questions that we asked in Pshat, the Mefarshim tell us also. Right? We had talked about Rashi already, about the different ages, right? That really he didn't die at this point, and it's coming to tell me that about the kavod aviv, that he wasn't leaving him as an old person. What is going on? And then the major thing in Pasuk Chaf Tet is telling me that Vaikach Avram v'Nachor lahem Nashim, right? Tells me about their wives. What's going on? All the Mefarshim want to know, why now? Why are you telling me about this now? Right? That Sarai Akara, why is this important now? Okay? Just to quote some of the other questions that we had said. And all of these are brought down in the different... for example, the Radak says, why does it mention their wives? It mentions the wives, L'Kavod Avram, right? To tell me that they're going to change the names of Sarai to Sarah, right? Okay, it's telling me a lot of this we're going to be saying is Kvod Avram. All these questions, all the Mefarshim bring down the same idea, right? Vayikach Terach, we had said, right? So what's the simple pshat? That it's Terach's initiative, right? But we had said, according to Chazal, so for example, Vayikach Terach, right, how the Malbim explains this. This is all telling me what, and this is where I got it from a little bit, is what's the whole purpose of this story. Okay, but even before we get to the Malbim, I got it maybe on the Ruach of the Malbim. It says Vayikach Terach, but again, let's say for example, the Rabbeinu Bachai says Yadua ki Avram haya ikar. Really, it's all Avram's idea to get to Eretz Yisrael. He's the one who's been, you know, stewing with all this monotheism and all this Beit Chabad, you know, trying to, you know, the Chabad mobile. I don't know if you have it here also. Like, you know, I know you have the menorahs, all right? It's not even close to Hanukkah, but the menorahs are out, right? And, you know, so Avram started the Beit Chabad, but it says, Vayikach Terach, why? It says Rabbeinu Bachai, one of the Rishonim, in Perek Yidalf Pasuk Lamed, Avalafish Haya Avram Mechabed Et Aviv, V'alach HaCharav, and Masi Matan Oto Adon L'chol Beito, it says Vayikach Terach, as if Terach was the Ikar. But the truth is, it was all because of Avram, not because of Terach. Right? They all try to say, and there's a tremendous emphasis, again, here, that it's all about the Kibbutz Av. So this is the first approach. The first approach is going to be that there's something going on with Kibbutz Av. So this I heard from Rav in Manchester last night. A tremendous, tremendous approach. Not the approach that I want to say, but a really an amazing approach. That within everything here, and with all the emphasis that we've said, about Beno, Eishes Kalasso, all these things we know already. So he asked a tremendous question, which is, we know on a prati level, which means on a singular level, there have been people, right? If you say, true or false, right? True or false, Avram discovered monotheism. What? True, false or sheker? Emet or sheker?
True.
True. Tell me why it's not true. Tell me why not true. Again, Pesukim in...
Because Adam and Noah, you know, people
before. Adam, Noach, there's a person called Chanoch, Vayitalech Chanoch et Elohim, he was a big tzaddik. He didn't discover monotheism. What did he do? He spread the word. He spread the good word. He spread the Lord's word, right? He was spreading the Lord. That's Avram, right? That's Avram, right? So then he asked the question, there are 20 generations we know from Mishnah and Pirkei Avot. It talks about the Asadarot in the fifth parak of Pirkei Avot. There are 10 generations from Adam to Noach, and then from Noach to Avram. So he asked a very fundamental question. What is it about Avram? And again, I encourage you to read Parak Aleph of Hilchot Avodah Zarah to learn it. It's very fascinating. But why now? Why now? Why did it take 20 generations for someone to come and spread the word? What was it? I mean, there are other answers to this question. I mean, it could be that wasn't the purpose. Right? The whole purpose is that you didn't need one person to discover it. This is the Sforno's approach. The Sforno's approach, it wasn't supposed to be necessarily that we have Am Yisrael right away being the Or LaGoyim. It was supposed to be the whole world, right? Via Adam, but he messed up. And then God said, you know what? We'll have Noah and his family, but he messed up. So then at that point, we had to choose not so universalistically, but more particularistically within the Jewish people. Okay, that's more of the Sforna's approach to Rav Shalom's question. But he says an amazing idea within this that would answer at least one approach. Right? He says, look at the emphasis of the Ben and all the filial piece. We know that the Yisod of Avodat Hashem is Hakarat HaTov, that in Sefer HaChinuch, we know that when we have the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Ve'Em, right? The Sefer HaChinuch says, what's the whole point of Kibbut Av Ve'Em? It's a bridge. It's important to have Hakarat HaTov to your parents, but it's also a stepping stool to what? A tzinor, a stepping stool to be able to recognize God. That just like your parents change your nappies when you're younger and be able to, yeah, I know what the word nappy is, right? To be able to help you who you are and you have a Hakarat HaTov to them. So too, on a much more grander scale, you'll be able to what? You'll be able to recognize God. Says Rav Shalom, maybe that's what's going on over here. Look at it. Look what's going on here. What's the grandfather's name? What's Terach's father's name? Nachor. Right? Then what happens? Terach then has three children. He has Avram. So what's Avram mean?
Like father.
Avram. Avram means that my father is exalted. Right? The question of right, Nachor is naming him after his father. And Haran is also from the language of like being pride, you know, that idea of within the family. And what happens within this idea that Terach, Vachi Terach Shivim Shana Vayolet, these names, Ve'ela Toldo Terach, etc. Right? And it's all about the Aviv, meaning, and again, Vaikach Avram V'Nachor Lehem Nashim, it's all about the family. It could very well be that the whole basis of Shalom gave a certain thesis, which I accept at least on a partial level, which is fascinating, is where did Avram get this idea to start spreading God's word? He got it from his family. Because the whole message of his family was, you know, you guys don't know, I don't know how sheltered you are, but the concept like Moroccans. You know about like Moroccan families? You know, it's like, you stick together. You know, it's like, you know, like, so Ashkenazi families aren't like this as much. You know, we intermarry, we do all these things. You know, they're like, you know, but like, the Moroccan families, you know, like they're all together to the point. There was a tremendous story from Rav Avadia Yosef Zechon Tzadik Livracha that was put on Facebook. This girl put it on Facebook. It's on Facebook. It must be true, right? And it's really amazing that this girl, she was 21 years old from a very close knit Moroccan family, and the mother decided that they had to move, and the father said absolutely not. And when the father says, absolutely not in a Moroccan family, you know, ain't mal daber. You know, there's nothing to talk about. So basically, this father was close to many, many Sephardic rabbis. And all of them said, you know, within this, you know, they got this big chamula going on, basically saying, we're not moving. And the mother, you know, basically was having a rough time. The end of the story is that they had like 10 kids, and it was like a very, very cramped quarter. Like, there was a reason why the mother wanted to move, and it was breaking apart the family. Because the mother wanted to move. Bottom line is, who's going to make the big decision? Who's got the big shoulders? Rav Avadia Yosef, Zechon Tzadik Livracha. They all go. And basically, they have these big the father's there with these other big rabbis that are supporting him. And then you have this girl, this 21-year-old girl, because the mother won't go in front of Rav Avadia. Like, it's like too much. So can you imagine the picture? The father, like the patriarch of the family, the godfather, if you will, you know, with all these rabbis with long white beards, you know, all, you know, Sephardic, you know, very pristine, if you will. And then you have this 21-year-old girl. So they all said, look, this is what's going on. Father says you have to stay. We got to stay. It's the family. It's a close-knit family. It's family, family, family. Right? Ever seen the movies? The family.
The family.
You know, the family. Right? That's what's going on here. Right? So then, you know, Ravada sees this meek girl. You know, it's not meek, but like, she pulls her over, and then she says the story. You know, there's 10 kids, and there's no room, and people aren't functioning, and they're not physically well, and they're cramped quarters, it's crazy. You know what I'm saying? We need to move to be able to have a normal chayim. So Rav Avadia goes, you're moving. That's it, you're moving. Right? This is Rav Avadia Yosef, like a big shoulder. So then they scream out to her, ah! She's a lawyer! Right, in those terms, right, they're trying to say that she's like not from, you know, she's not really, you know, she's playing you, Rav Avadia. That's what they were saying. She's playing you. She's like trying to, like, you know, stroke your emotions. It's not real, right? So Rav Avadya, in a very chacham way, chacham Avadya, goes over to her and says, just make sure that you remember who's the higher law. And that's it. That's the end of the story. And they moved. You know? Lahavdil, first I'll just tell you that Rav Avadya saved unbelievable shoulders. But that's maybe one approach. One approach, Lahavdil, of what's going on. How did Avram become Avram? And the whole emphasis of all the family here is this concept of how Avram became there, is because it's this strong, strong family, and that's where we get Hakarat HaTov, and that's how you're able to spread HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Very, very fascinating. Okay, I want to tell you a different approach. And it's based a little bit on the Malbim, who says that all of this is telling me on why Terach decided to go to Canaan. Because again, Rashi and Chazal, at least at the beginning, are all saying he's a Rasha. Makabel, he's a Rasha. But again, it could very well be, if you read the Pesukim with me, how long did the people live at that point? Meaning, not at that point, but meaning because things changed. But what's a normal living existence?
Now or then?
Both.
So then, well, Avram and Sarah is about 170 years. Much less than it was beforehand.
Right. Meaning, what?
When Sarah and Avram say that, where he says that Sarah says she's old, she's only...
She's 100 at that point.
Yeah, but in those days, you would think if it's maybe not that old, because you're looking at Adam and Noah.
Right, so I think even at that point, it's clear that things have changed from the Adam of 900 plus years, and 100 already is a certain level of being old. So my first assumption when it says Vayichi Terach Shivim Shana, which we're going to get to also, of Vayu Chayei Sarah, it's telling me about a certain life. 7 years is a chashav amount of life. It could very well be when you read this pasuk, Vayichi Terach Shivim Shana, it's telling me that what? That Nachor was Nachor, he had Terach. Terach lived his first 70 years as a Rasha. He was a Rasha. That's who he was. He was known as an idol worshiper, and you read again, Rabban Hilchos Avodah Zarah, he was an idol worshiper. And then what happened? Things changed when he started having Avram, Nachor, and Haran, and they continued his ways. Avram was an Oved Avodah Zarah. But then what happens? Vela told Terach, Terach holid et Avram et Nachor vet Haran v'Haran holid et Lot. Already the Midrash says, why does it say? Already in this, the Midrash says, Vela told Terach, Terach, why does it say 2 times Terach? It tells me that he did Tshuva. It tells me already that he did Tshuva. Now I want to bring it out more.
The first Terach is different to the second Terach.
Right. Correct. Right? This was, right, and that's the point of repetition of why, I already know he had children. No. There's Terach 1 and there's Terach 2, basically. Vayechi Terach Shivim Shana, Vayol et Avram vet Nachor vet Haran. Then, Ve'ela told Terach. Terach, this is the new Terach. Something happened. Something happened that he did Tshuva. What happened? Terach holid et Avram vet Nachor vet Haran, Ve'aran holid et Lot. So part of it is the whole Lot existence. But okay, more. Then he had the whole incident in Or Kasdim. Fayama Taran al Pnei Terach Aviv Beretz Mulat HaTor Or Kasdim. Something within Or Kasdim wasn't going well. Something, right, if you look at it, for example, the Malbim says, Uba'etahi, right? Look what it says. The Malbim, I definitely got it from the Malbim, must be. Kol ma shesiper adhena, hu ahatza'a, lehudia siba sheinia terach latzit l'eretz Kanan. Everything until now is telling me why he decided to go to Canaan. Because what happens? His son, you have to think about it now. He just lost a son. Whew. Right? We know within the Baal Tshuva, a lot of times when you lose a son, it wakes you up. Right? So first and foremost, Haran dies. That's number one. Avram doesn't have a child. Avram's having problem having children. One of his son dies. Okay? His other Avram is not having children. Hayta mishpachto ktana, he has a very small family. Ubeitahi mishelo ayulo banim rabim, he was very weak. The Av was the Rosh Mishpacha. So he was definitely secondary to Nachor. Right? Nachor, his father, had many children. Vayolid banim uvanot. We had skipped that at the beginning. Vayechi seruga achrei lido et Nachor, matayim shana vayolid banim uvanot. Vayechi Nachor, right? Achrei lido terach tshas rishana, vayolid banim uvanot. Right, being an Av Mishpacha, you have lots of kids. And then what happens? In Pasuk of Chavchet, Avram, who's not having children, he already lost a son. Think about the trauma of what's going on here. Then what happens? He's run from Nimrod. And he's saved from the miracle, which doesn't happen always. Therefore, he goes to Eretz Canaan. Right? Where there, they have B'nai Shem, away from B'nai Cham and Nimrod. Okay? Now, the Alshech said something similar. I want to bring up something there. It could very well be that what happened, this, the Torah is telling me that this is what happened. First 7 years, he was off the derech. Then what happens? He's a new man. Things have changed. His son dies, he wakes up. It's like, what am I supposed to be doing? Right? His other son who's having difficulty. Right? The whole issue, why does it tell me, we asked the question about Sarai Akara in La Valad. What does Chazal tell us in Yivamot? It tells us that, why does God not give our Tzarkaniyot children right away in order that you should daven? Mitavela Tfilatan. Right? There's a certain level of having that relationship. It could very, very, very well be that Terach started seeing God at that point. And that's what Chazal tells us, that Vayechi Terach, this is Terach number two. And therefore, as opposed to what the Rabbeinu Bachai says, right? And then all of a sudden, what happened? Vayikach Avram v'Nachor lahem nashim. Now things are going well, right? I'm going to have a family, right? Then I have a family, but, like we said, they don't have children. Oy! So what happens? Vayikach Terach et Avram b'no v'et Lot ben Aram b'no. Not like Rabbeinu Bachai that says what? It's really Avram, right? Kibud Avim, which is the first pshat. The Torah says, Vayikach Terach. Terach's a new man. Terach has become the dreams of, can you imagine Avram? The dream of, what possibly could be the dream of Avram? The person who's the new Beit Chabad. What's his dream? He's been makar of everybody. It's a nefesh asher asu v'charan, right? That we're about to read in Lech Lecha. What is his dream? Is the dream, I'll tell you, I'm a rabbi. Right? The hardest thing for me now, I have a 9-year-old son, he just started going B'nai Akiva, and he also just, my wife yesterday gave him an email account so he can email. You know, the hardest thing for me being now away from Eretz Yisrael, being away from my family, is I get an email now from my son, Abba, ani mitgagea elecha. You know, I miss you. You know, when are you coming back? How's England doing? You know, it's one of the biggest difficulties as a community leader, as an educator, as a rabbi, that all of a sudden, what are you doing? You're trying to help out other people's children, and how about your own children? All right? Very, very difficult. There's articles about it. There are movies about it, right? Called Children of Rabbi. What's Avram's dream? In my eyes, Lefiyani Ozdaiti. You know what his dream is? Not only to be Makar of everybody, but what? His father. His father was an idol worshiper and all the Midrashim. How can you break my idols, etc., etc.? Now what's he doing? He's now the Rosh Mishpacha. He's saying, we're going on Aliyah. We're going to live a life of Kedusha. That's what's going on. Vayikach Terach, we're going. Et Avram Bino. Vet Lo Ben Haran Ben Bino. He's taking everybody. Sarai Kalato. Eish Et Avram Bino. Vayitzu Itam Yor Kazdim. La'alechet Arza Kanan. They're ready to go. They're ready to go. Now, for some reason, Vayavo Ar Haran Vayeshvushan. He stops in Haran. But in my time right there, Vayu Yimei Terach Chamesh Shanim Matayim Shana Vayama Terach B'Haran. You know how one could read that? Do you think he went off the derech at that point because he didn't make aliyah at that point? I'm not so sure. I don't think so. You know what I think? You know how I read those psukim? Is he really wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. For some reason, he didn't get to Eretz Yisrael. There's a beautiful Alshech HaKadosh. The Alshech says the reason why he didn't make it to Eretz Yisrael is because he was running away from Or Kasdim. He didn't do it out of the love of Eretz Yisrael. He was just so, which works out, I mean, he says it a little differently than I'm saying now. He says, you're running away from the Eish, but not because of Chibat Eretz Yisrael. Right? If I wanted to reframe it, he's running away from his 70 years of Or Kazdim, of what? Of being known as Terach, the idol worshiper. Now he's got a whole new essence. A lot of people like that, where they become a little frummer. And all of a sudden, what happens? They can't be in that regular place. So then, like I know somebody who grew up in Staten Island. I lived in Staten Island, New York. They became a little firmer. They moved to Tina. They didn't move to Eretz Yisrael. That's like, whoa. They moved to Teaneck. It's like moving from Stanmore to Hendon. Whoa. Really from, right? That's what it is. Like, oh, I decided to be a little more firmer, and therefore I don't want to teach pupils in Stanmore. I'm gonna go to Hendon to the base. Right? That's what's gonna happen. Right? So it could very well be that what happened. Vayetsu itame or kazdim. For whatever reason, according to how I understand it, he was Chozer B'Tshuva. He was learning Daf Yom. He was giving the Daf Yomi Shir in Haran. That's what happened. And that's why he tells us that he died there. He's from a dream. Now do you understand the Nisayon? Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Lech lecha me'artzecha, mimolartcha, umibeit avicha? Which everybody asks. It's in the opposite order. It should be from Beit Avicha to Molaratcha to Me'artzecha, right? Everybody asks that. Rabban, Rashi. Now do you understand, according to this Pshat, the tremendous Pshat there? He's already left. Avram now is in Haran. Beit Avicha. You know what? This is Beit Avicha. It's not only just the idea of that we're both, Tottenham fans or, the Gooners. That's not what's going on here. This is what I'm dreaming about. Avram Avinu. Beit Avicha, my father, is from now. He is leading the pensionaire Kolel. This is what I've been dreaming about. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is beautiful, but that's not your destiny. And you need to leave from Haran, because you know where you have to be? The Jewish people belong in Eretz Yisrael, and this is where you need to be. Okay? This is an approach that I think has a lot of teeth, has a lot of, within the Pshat, within the Midrash, and I think there's a lot of emet to it. I have 15 minutes now to talk a little bit about the yeshiva. I mean, I have a lot more Torah I want to talk to you about also, but I get paid the big bucks to also talk to you about the yeshiva.